Today, in honoring the Apostle St. Thomas, we honor true repentance, for St. Ambrose tells us that during this eight-day period, St. Thomas persisted in the sins of pride, obstinacy, irreverence, presumption, that is, because he proposed to dictate to the Lord of all goodness the law, that is, by demanding that he put his hands in the side, that he put his hands in his side and also into the nail marks, and also for persisting in unbelief for 8 days. And St. Ambrose said this was a particularly painful sin to our Lord and his most holy mother, because he persisted in that unbelief for 8 days in the presence of the Mother of God, who was at that time constantly beseeching him to come to belief. But when St. Thomas is confronted by the Lord this day, we see the power of repentance. For from that day forward, St. Thomas would become known as the apostle who was always late for his labors. For he would go out to the most tough of all evangelical territory. Most especially, he would ultimately go to India. And if we need to understand just what this land was, for it was unlike many of the pagan lands. Indeed, some of the common terms we use in our own language come from that culture. For instance, the word thug. We don't often associate that a thug at the time of St. Thomas, when he went to that land, was one who preyed on travelers. That is, any foreigner who traveled to that land was the prey of the thug. It was a form of human sacrifice, and it was done to simply cover up the stealing of the riches that the traveler may had brought. And hence, we often refer to young thieves as thugs. That is a leftover from this culture. But St. Thomas would no longer hesitate, for he makes that profound profession of faith today, my Lord and my God. So he sees in Christ something sacred. That is, he declares here the sacred humanity of Christ, that in looking at the man Christ, he is also looking at his God. And it was that truth that he would bring to all lands, and that truth that he would try to instill in all the hearts of all the souls throughout the world. And ultimately, it would cost him that greatest of all sacrifices. He would give up his life to a most heinous, martyr's death. And so he would make reparation for his pride, for his obstinacy, for his irreverence, for his presumption, and for his persisting in unbelief in the most extraordinary way. St. Thomas would suffer great penances for the rest of his life. Most especially, he would have to suffer not being present when the Mother of God was assumed body and soul into heaven. He would have to wait to see her, but then his waiting would be rewarded, for it would not be a final seeing of her in this life, but St. Thomas now beholds her for all eternity in the life to come, and it is because he truly repented. And so we see the power of the sacramental system, for St. Thomas, in confessing his sins and repenting of them, becomes one of the greatest of apostles, not fearing to go anywhere to declare what he declares today, my Lord and my God, and to teach that. But also, we must also realize that St. Thomas also failed to recognize the apostles, for it was the apostles who brought the word first to him. We have seen the Lord, they tell them, and St. Thomas himself, called to be apostle, would not accept their word. And so we learn how often we must remind Catholics that they must accept the words of the apostles. That is, they must show reverence to the Holy Father and to all bishops united with him. They must no longer persist in their unbelief and their presumption. For presumption, in the form that St. Thomas manifested it, is one of the common sins of our day. And indeed, it goes right along with the irreverence. It is known as the heresy of modernism, in which we presume to tell Christ who he is and what he is and how we are to behave. And so, in this form of sin, many Catholics are making of the Catholic faith something that it is not, creating their own religion, showing their pride and their obstinacy and their irreverence towards the mysteries of Christ. And so, let us ask St. Thomas this day that he may intercede for us so that the heresy of modernism may depart from the mystical body of Christ, so that we, like St. Thomas, may all go forth teaching of our Lord and our God, but teaching as he has revealed himself, not presuming to know what Christ taught, but turning to the Church to find out precisely what he has taught, how he has revealed himself, and then going forth, giving that truth to the whole world. And it is not necessary that we understand fully the truths of our holy Catholic faith, for we have all of this life to try to penetrate them deeper and deeper and deeper, knowing that one day we will know them in a most extraordinary way by way of the beatific vision. Indeed, if we were to understand fully every mystery of our faith in this life, then, as it were, we would not really be exercising an act of faith, for faith simply means that we believe what is often unseen to us by the use of our reason, but we believe it solely because Christ has revealed it, and then we try to understand it a little better each and every day of our lives so that we may put that faith into practice, as St. Thomas would immediately begin to do after the moment of his repentance, and his labors would be rewarded, and ultimately, again, he would pay that ultimate price, that price that shows he truly did believe that Christ was his Lord and his God, and he was unwilling to lose that love that Christ gave to give him, and so he would depart from this life by way of a modest death in order that he may take up his life again for all eternity in heaven. And ultimately, that is the message of the apostles. Every man, woman, and child that God has created is a unique man, a sacred man, and an unrepeatable man, a woman or child. And so they are called to a dignity beyond the happiness that this life can offer, because they are called to union with this same God for all eternity in heaven. And so let us strive this day most especially to ask St. Thomas to intercede for us in our unbelief, so that, as the Lord tells us, we will no longer persist in our unbelief, but we will put the authentic Catholic faith into practice, no matter what it may cost us in regards to being counterculture. For indeed, we should rejoice if we are accused of being counterculture, because we live in a culture that is so deprived of any knowledge of God, so deprived of any notion that St. Thomas says today. Indeed, institutionally, we observe that the most strict of all Protestant observance allows three forms of baptism, only one of which is valid, and that just expresses a deeper and deeper problem, that they do not truly believe that he is the Lord and the God and their God, that Jesus Christ is more than just a man, because he is also God. And so let us strive in some way to show forth the world that love of Christ, so that our counterculturalness can be manifested in bringing to our land, into the lands of all the nations, the culture of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, that St. Thomas and all the apostles would labor so earnestly to establish shortly after the time of our Lord, in order to pave that way for what would become known as Christendom. And so, after Christendom had departed from the land, we have much to labor for. And so, let us, like St. Thomas, always be late for our labors, but let us always pray that we are laboring for the Lord, that we are laboring for him and striving always to understand more deeply and more profoundly. And let us not assume that St. Thomas, as St. Irenaeus tells us, went through with that most vile suggestion, that unless he placed his hands in the side and his hands in the feet, St. Thomas, immediately upon seeing them, St. Irenaeus tells us, repented, and indeed he did not in his shame even step forward to go through with what he demanded. And so he immediately dropped to his knees and apologized to the Lord for his unbelief, and to the Most Holy Mother of God for persisting in her presence for 8 days in his unbelief. And so let us this day turn to Mary Most Holy, as St. Thomas would do, in order that she truly becomes our mother, that she truly stands behind us, behinds us and strengthens us as we seek to establish not the modern culture of unbelief, of irreverence, of presumption, and all the sins that St. Thomas had committed prior to his conversion, but let us strive that they may truly again embrace the Christ so that all mankind declares that same thing of him, my Lord and my God.